Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, we praise you that you are our God from ages past. Thank you that you are our help, our shield, our deliverer, our salvation, and our joy. And I pray today, as we look at your word, I pray that we would see more of you. I pray that we would behold you in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this great chapter of Isaiah 40, and I pray as we unpack its riches that we would discover more of who you are, and that you are our salvation, and that you are our God. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us an open ears to hear, a heart that is to receive your word, and hands and feet that will put it into action. Lord, we're grateful for the abundant grace of Jesus Christ and the privilege of knowing you and serving you. And I pray that you would build us up in our most holy faith as individuals, but as a church as well. I pray that we would grow up into Christ, and I pray that we would serve one another in love. So work in our hearts through this word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're not in Isaiah 40, please turn there. We are studying this chapter in the Sunday evenings this summer. It's one of my favorite chapters, and I hope it will become one of your favorite chapters as well. One of the interesting things of living in Guyana, South America, was traveling on the roads to go anywhere. I don't know if you've been on the roads of any third world country, but it can always be an adventure. You had to be on the lookout for roaming animals. In fact, many of the Guyanese had fences around their yards, not to keep things in, but to keep all the animals roaming around out of their yard. Dogs, cats, goats, sheep, pigs, cows, horses, and donkeys were all commonly seen walking down the streets. And I tell you, if a car and a horse get into a fight on the road, who's going to win? The car does not make out very well. And for those of you who have encountered deer with your cars, you understand the serious nature of driving around with animals on the road. And it was the common practice of the drivers to put their four-ways on to notify the drivers behind them that there were some animals crossing the road. And like any country, we had our share of potholes. And the road past our house was made out of part dirt, part gravel. And when the rainy season came, there was potholes and potholes and potholes. We had this one spot about a mile down the road from our house that got so bad it turned into this 15-foot pond in the middle of the road. And people were literally driving on people's yards to get through the road. And so the neighbors started taking up a collection to buy dirt to fill in this hole. So like any country, it can be a venture getting around. In Isaiah 40 this evening, we find that the command is given to prepare the way of the Lord. Get the road ready for God coming. Patch up the potholes, if so to speak. Get ready for the Lord, for he is coming. We're going to look at verses 3 to 5 this evening, but I'll read for us verse 1 to verse 8. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is of the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the spirit or the wind of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This prophecy of Isaiah says that God is bringing salvation and nothing will stop him. We're going to see that today. God's way, God's coming, and nothing will stop him. So number one, from Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 5. God's way revives his people. God's way revives his people. In verse 3, it says, a way is to be prepared for the Lord. Where? In the desert or in the wilderness. And when we hear desert, we think of dry, heat, thirst. This is not the only picture Isaiah has in mind when he says wilderness or desert. In Isaiah, the wilderness was a place of desolation and judgment. Isaiah 27:10 says, for the fortified city is solitary, a habitation deserted and forsaken, like the wilderness. So think of a bombed out city or a burnt down house. So in the wilderness, a place of dry, heat, desolation, judgment, the Lord says, prepare the way of the Lord, because God is coming into the wilderness, into the desert. The wilderness is also a place of new beginnings. The wilderness is where God led Israel after he led them out of Egypt and he gave them his law. But it turned into a place of judgment because of their sins. So we'll see a little bit how this plays out. The wilderness is not just desert. It's a place where God is going to work and save his people. God is coming and he will save them. Turn over to Isaiah 41, verse 17. Isaiah 41, verse 17. Going to get an idea of what's happening here with this idea of wilderness and desert. 41:17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake him. Them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. So God's going to bring in refreshing and revival where there's desolation. Look over at 43, Isaiah 43, a couple more verses to fill out this idea of wilderness. Isaiah 43, starting at verse 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So God's coming into the desert. His way is going to be paved so that he can do something new, so he can refresh and save his people. When we see verse 3 of Isaiah 40, prepare the way of the Lord, we think of a bulldozer. And God's going to get into his bulldozer. He's going to squash everything that's in his way. We'll get to that part, but right here in the wilderness, in the desolate, where there's desolation and judgment, this is Israel had experienced that. They're in exile in Babylon. They're experiencing desolation and judgment. God says, I'm coming to revive you in the place where you're experiencing judgment. So God's coming to save his people and to restore them. And another part of traveling in Guyana, where we lived, was the ferry crossing. We lived about 70 miles from the capital, and between us and the capital lay a very large river with no bridge. So in order to get to the capital to do business or shopping or whatnot, or even to fly out of the country, we had to cross the ferry. And it was getting better by the time we got there, but back in the day, people would wait for days to cross the river. But we would pull up in our truck, and we would sit there and bake in the sun at the ferry crossing. And there would be angry people wanting to get across the river. And you'd have people selling snow cones. And nothing looks better on a hot day than a snow cone. But we know we couldn't have them because it was made with unfiltered water, and we would pay the price later. But there was one thing we could have. They would take the green coconuts, and then they would put them in a cooler. And then they would take it, chop off the top, and put a straw on it. And there's nothing to refresh you like cold coconut water on a hot day. And you think about that parched barrenness and cool, clear water or coconut water to refresh you. That's what God says he's doing for his people. It's a picture of his salvation and rescue, that God will rescue these people who are dry and desolate and refresh them in the desert. So God's way revives his people. Number two, God's way reverses the world's order. God's way reverses the world's order. You look at verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. So you think of a bulldozer, don't you? God's going to get in the bulldozer, and it's going to level out everything. Are we talking about a literal road here? It's interesting. Let's look at this line by line. I don't think he's necessarily talking about a road for the Lord to walk on. Like any good poet, Isaiah uses pictures to describe what God will do when he comes. It says, every valley will be exalted. So this is the idea of lifting up, exalting the humble, those who are low. Every mountain and hill will be made low. Every time, almost every time, this word for made low is used in Isaiah, it's talking about God humbling the proud. Let me read for you Isaiah 2, verse 17. And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And again in Isaiah, God says, I will bring down the proud and lift up the humble. And then the third clause here, and the crooked or uneven ground will be made straight. This is the word crooked here is the same word used in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. God's saying, I'm going to straighten things out. The point is, when God comes, he's going to reverse the order of the world. Think of Mary's words in Luke 1, her song of praise to God. God has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. God will save the humble who trust him, and he will squash the proud who reject him. God's coming, and that's what he does when he comes. That's the way of God, to lift up the humble who trust him and squash the proud who reject him. Number three, God's way reveals his salvation. God's way reveals his salvation. This is found in most of verse 5. It says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. What does it mean by God's glory? God's glory reveals who he is, but sometimes it reveals something more specific about God. Let's turn to Luke chapter 3. So leave your finger in Isaiah 40 and go to Luke 3. All four Gospels quote this section of Isaiah, referring to John the Baptist. I'm assuming most of you know that. But in Luke, this is the longest quotation of the four Gospels from Isaiah chapter 40, 3 to 5. So Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist is the one who is preparing the way of the Lord. Let me start for us, Luke chapter 3, starting at verse 3. And he, that is John the Baptist, came into all the country around Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be smooth." Now, watch carefully. "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." What does Isaiah 40 say? It says, all flesh will see the glory of God. So God's glory is specifically the revealing of his salvation. You're saying, well, Luke clearly got it wrong. He can't read in the Old Testament. Well, no, he is reading the Old Testament in context. He's reading Isaiah in context because Isaiah 52:10 says, "The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." So God's glory will be revealed before all people, specifically in the salvation of his people. And when we see God coming to save his people, we look up. And who's coming? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who will take away the sins of the world. God's revealing glory is God's revealing his salvation to us in Jesus Christ. So back to Isaiah 40. Number four, God's word realizes God's way. God's word realizes God's way. The very end of verse 5. "For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." When we read these words in Isaiah 40, we feel like maybe we should get into our bulldozers and clear a way for the Lord. God's coming, so we need to get ready for him by making his way smooth for us. The king is coming. Make him a highway. But when we read carefully, the one who prepares a way in the desert, the one who takes the mountains out and fills in the valleys, is God himself. His word accomplishes his purpose. Because God said it, it will happen. John the Baptist fulfilled Isaiah 40 by preaching repentance from sins. He prepared the way of the Lord by speaking the word of the Lord. So John the Baptist prepares the way of the Lord by speaking the way of the Lord. And the word of the Lord prepares his way, because when God speaks, it happens. And we'll look at that next week too, very clear in this chapter. Let's think back to John the Baptist. So we think about, well, John the Baptist is in the wilderness. People are going out to see John the Baptist in the wilderness. Well, that's clearly what Isaiah 40 is getting at, that there's going to be this guy, his weird, crying things in the wilderness. Well, yes, that's true, but it goes further than that. John the Baptist crying this in the wilderness is also significant because God is starting something new. God is bringing this salvation. The wilderness is a place of desolation and judgment, and in that place, God's coming to reclaim his people. God's going to start something new. He's going to open up salvation for all people. And as you read Isaiah 40 to 66, you see that God's not just bringing the Israelites home from captivity. He is making a plan to spread the light of his salvation to all people, Jews and Gentiles. So when John the Baptist is in the wilderness crying, we should think back to Isaiah and say, yes, God is going to save his people from judgment, but something new is going to happen. Something new is going to happen. And God is bringing his salvation. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came into the wilderness and started something new. Salvation, as prophesied in Isaiah, for Jews and Gentiles. As we think about this command to prepare the way of the Lord, we feel like we should do something to prepare God's way. And there is something that we do. So we know God does it. God speaks and his way progresses. There is a way we can prepare the way of the Lord. We follow what John the Baptist preached when he prepared the way of the Lord. We get off our bulldozers and we bow before the King. We repent. Now I have three reasons in conclusion why we should repent in light of Isaiah 40, 3-5. So this message, the one who fulfills this message of one crying in the wilderness, John the Baptist, preached a message of repentance. And I think we need to look at the text and follow accordingly to repent in light of this text. So number one, why should we repent? God has brought spiritual life out of judgment. God has brought spiritual life out of judgment. For Israel, God promised to restore them from their judgment in exile and take them back to their land. That's who's reading this in Isaiah 40, Israel in exile. But as we read through Isaiah 40 to 66, we realize that God is doing something bigger than just getting the Israelites home. He is bringing salvation to all the world, a light for all the Gentiles. And he is still in the process of doing that. God is a God who brings life out of judgment. That's who he is. God is a God who brings spiritual life out of the desert of sin. When we were wasting away in the wilderness and of sin and judgment, God comes and he rescues us by giving us the living water of Jesus Christ. When we realize that God is on a mission to rescue lost sinners, he's coming to get us in the wilderness, that should lead us to repent and accept his salvation. So God is bringing salvation to his people. He's coming into the wilderness to get us. Number two, God humbles the proud and exalts the humble. When God brings salvation, when God comes bringing salvation, he is going to humble the proud, he's going to squash them, and he is going to exalt those who are humble. God's salvation comes to those who know they are broken sinners and in need of Jesus Christ to fix them. Pride has no place in salvation. It has absolutely no place in salvation. When we acknowledge that we have nothing and Christ has everything, there is no room for pride. God looks to and saves the humble. He will lift up the humble. Isaiah 66, 2. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Number three, why should we repent? God brings salvation, not us. God brings salvation, not us. We can't clear our own way to salvation. God must do that. When we repent of our sins, we also repent of our own efforts to save ourselves. God will reveal his glory. God will reveal his salvation. We don't do that. God does. We don't find salvation. God's the one who clears the way to us in the wilderness. It's not our words that save us. It is God's word that accomplishes his salvation. God brings us salvation, not the other way around. A couple more verses from Isaiah. Isaiah 45:8. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. I, the Lord, have created it. Isaiah 59:16. God saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm, his strength, brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. That's our God. He brings salvation by himself. This is our God. Behold our God, says Isaiah 40. He revives his people. He reverses the world order. He reveals his salvation to us, and he will do it because he said so. Let's pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we praise you for your reviving and refreshing of your people. We thank you that you have come to rescue us in the wilderness, and that you have sent Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to take away our sins. And so, Lord, may we be very confident of you, our God, who revives us and who reveals salvation to us. May we be confident that you will accomplish your purpose through your word. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your salvation in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.